Please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 2. I want to welcome all of you here that are fathers. Thank you so much for your love for God. I want to remind you that I just saw one of them red lights go off. Son, don't point that in your... Right on that thing, it says there's a danger of hurting your eyes with that red. Those I gave them to your fathers, not nobody else. So put them in your pocket, dads. I just saw one go right in your eye, and that's how they do laser surgery, and you don't want to hurt your eye. And then I have to sue our church for giving those stupid things out. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight, Proverbs chapter 2. I want you to listen carefully. I want to teach you how to raise princes, how a father can raise a prince. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment, iniquity, yea, every good path. May God have the blessing of the Word of God, as always does. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, I pray you help us tonight. Help us to have in mind that we have a great responsibility as fathers to raise our children to be men that serve you, men that are given to you. And Lord, how can they do that unless they are taught? And dear God, help us to teach them to cry after it and to look after it and seek it. And Lord, while it may be found, in Jesus' name, amen. A boy is the only thing that God can use to make a man. I heard one man said, how many real men does it take to change a light bulb? None. Real men are not afraid of the dark. How many real ladies does it take to change a light bulb? One. She tells him where it's at. Israel was in great trouble with King Saul, who only followed Lord Jesus Christ 2 years out of his 40 years that he served. And God told him to wait for the prophet, but instead of doing what God told him to do, he went and sacrificed on his own. You watch the story of Saul. Like I told some of you, I've been reading for the last month. I've been reading about Samuel and Saul and David. And I noticed a pattern in Saul's life. Saul would do things that were right, but not all the way right. He would keep some of the law, but he would not keep all of the law. The older he got as a king, he felt that it was owed to him. He thought that he was bigger than the law. He thought that he could trump anything else because he was the king. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not correct. That's not right. You'll see some people that are in a job, see some people in work that after they get a new job, they get promoted, all of a sudden they begin to slack off, they start doing some things, they start taking home some things that are not theirs to take home, they start not coming on time and leaving early and taking advantage. Years ago, I was going to Mountain State Baptist College, and every once in a while, I would have to leave the college because I had an emergency. I tried never to do that. But maybe two or three times all the time I went there to pick up my last years of college, I did it. And there was a guy in our church that he was a Sunday school teacher, and he thought that he'd just take off a class and just tell him, well, I have to go take care of things at the church. No, you don't. No, you don't. You do it on your own time. And he was using the excuse that he was, you know, he was a Sunday school teacher at Harry's Baptist Church. And I had a good talk with him and also a good talk with the president. And I said, no, that is not right. He's not to do that. If there is a great emergency and if I call you, then you can let him go. But don't you dare let him go. He was trying to work the system. And you know people like that. You know people who work the system. You know people who take advantage of it. That's exactly what King Saul was. He took advantage. Because Samuel even said, you know, Samuel, when you were young and you were, you know, you were doing the things, you're okay, but now you become a king and you became a bully. That's what he did. He just became a bully. Because of his rebellion, God rejected him as the king and commanded Samuel to quit praying for him. That's scary. That's scary. That the prophet quits praying for you. And go to the house of Jesse and anoint another king. There, young David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. But before he could be called, there must be training. God knew that David needed to be trained. David was a little farm boy. David was a little shepherd boy. He wasn't a leader of a great nation. He was a shepherd boy. He needed training to lead such a great country. God never calls a man unless he's willing to prepare. God never calls anyone unless they're willing to prepare. And I want you dads to know something. You are in the responsibility of preparing your children. Yes, clear, but wave and little, your little boy, Teddy. Your challenge tonight is to prepare that young man for great service someday. David needed training, and this was God's boot camp to put him through almost 30 years of training before he became the king. I know some of you guys, when you were you went through boot camp as a in the military, and then you're on base and you're doing your classes and all kind of stuff, and go down to San Antonio, and some of you studied down there and some other places. But you know, when you were called up to go over to Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan, what did they do with you? They put you through a whole bunch of stuff again. Why? They're getting you ready. Becoming more alert, kind of understanding what's going on in the process. I think that that's the way it is in Christian life. I think God puts us through some training that sometimes we don't want, sometimes we don't like, sometimes it really hurts, and it's grueling, and it's hard, but it's needful. And some of your boys and some of your girls are going to go through some stuff like that, and I don't know if you're willing to let them go through there. First of all, I wonder if they're willing to go through it. We're trying to raise some princes around here. God gave him a job. His first job was a shepherd boy. He said, no, his dad did. No, God was setting him, getting him ready. He learned as a young man, at a young age, to trust God to kill a lion and to kill a bear. I don't know about you, but I'm not ready for that yet. Unless I got a 12-gauge shotgun with me. He learned to wait on God. For after he was chosen of God as anointed king, he still took care of the sheep. Children ought to have things to do, responsibilities, because someday they're going to have some great responsibilities. While a youth by the prophet Samuel, almost 30 years passed until he ascended into Israel's kingdom. He was introduced to King Saul. He learned that there was a cause to fight for his God, and he ran and killed Goliath in the name of the Lord. He didn't do it in himself. He did it in the name of the Lord. He learned how to come in and out, becoming King Saul's court musician. He learned how to come into court. Come on. Did he learn that in the sheepfold? Did he learn that around the sheep? No. He had to get to the place where he could learn how to act at the throne, how to act around the court. He learned who he could trust. He could trust Jonathan, who loved him. They became the best trusted friends. And Jonathan even said, I know that you're going to be the king. Jonathan was the one that was next in line. He was what we call the heir apparent. But he knew that God had his hand on David. He learned that popularity was like perfume. It's all right to smell it, but don't drink it. Saul has killed his thousands, but David is 10,000. You never heard a peep out of David bragging about that. He learned that he always had to watch his back. You better figure that out. You always watch your back. The fire pilots, I've talked to a number of them, they say you got to keep checking six. Checking six. See what's coming around. Better be careful. He learned that people can become very jealous when you do the right job and the proper jobs. He is taught that the world does not care, nor does it play fair, as he was defrauded of Merab. Merab was King Saul's first daughter that he killed 200 Philistines and gave the foreskins to King so that he could marry her. And before it was all over, King Saul lied to him and gave Merab to somebody else. He learned two friends are always two friends. Jonathan always interceded for David. In fact, he almost got a javelin through his chest because his father got so ticked off at him because he was befriending David, who happened to be the best man of the whole army. He conducted a campaign against and defeated the Philistines. Saul attempted to kill him. He escaped to Ramah and lives at Naoth, where Saul pursues him, and he returns, and Jonathan makes a covenant with him and escapes by the way of Nob, where he obtains the showbread and Goliath's sword from Abimelech. He escapes Gath. He recruits an army of insurgents. He goes to Moab, returns to Herath. He goes and saves Keliah. He makes a second covenant with Jonathan. He goes to the wilderness of Ziph and they betrayed him to Saul. And Saul is diverted from pursuing David and has to go to En-Gedi. Let me tell you something. You stay right with God and you're immortal until your work is done. David was that close to being caught by Saul. And all of a sudden, the Philistines started getting ugly. And he said, wait a minute. This one person is not as important as this big army of Philistines are coming at us, so we got to go. Isn't that amazing how God just got him out of there? He goes to En-Gedi. He refrains from killing Saul. He makes a covenant with Saul. Marries Nadab's widow, Abigail, Ahinoam. And lives in the wilderness of Ziph, has the opportunity to kill Saul, but only takes his spear. Saul is contrite. He says, is this my son's voice? He rescued the people of Ziklag and who had been captured, the Amalekites, and then the death and burial of Saul and his sons. He goes and kills the murderers of Saul. And after living for a year and 4 months at Ziklag, David goes to Hebron and is anointed the king of Judah. You see, after David is about to die, Solomon was called to God to be the next king of Israel, and he realized his deficiency to lead God's people. And he cries to God, he said, I'm but a little child. Solomon says, I'm but a little child. I don't know how to do this. It ought to take the breath away from anyone who is about to accept the position of leadership. Anyone who, some entry-level teaching and coaching. Everyone needs specialized training. Everyone needs a breaking in, and everyone needs a coach. Listen to what David's own son Solomon said when God had called him to the throne. 1 Kings 3:7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out and come in. That's kind of interesting. He's been there watching his dad all the time. Sometimes a lot of kids don't watch their dads very well. Their dads are doing things, and sometimes dads get a little busy. And they don't teach them how to act and react. Listen to what God had to say to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:7, But the Lord said unto him, Say not, I am a child. Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Listen to the Apostle Paul. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. When Jesus was a child, listen to how he grew. Luke 1:80, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Luke 2:40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with the wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. Let me tell you something. You can see sometimes in some of these children that they really want to serve God. It's the most amazing thing. And then there's others that just kind of, they're like in a pinball machine. They're just ding, dong, ding, 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 ding. You don't even know where they're thinking or what they're doing. Amen. You see, David, when he started into this, he needs a preparation for him, to God's boot camp, to prepare him. No matter how much God calls you, he always calls you to prepare first. David was anointed by God's prophet Samuel in the front of seven other brothers and a father and a young teen. There he waited patiently in the wing. Samuel said, Do you have any other? Yeah, I got this kid out there. He's taking care of the sheep. Well, bring him in. When he walked in, Samuel said, I now anoint you the next king of Israel, and poured the oil over his head. But what did he do? He didn't become king until he was 30 years old. Sometimes people get too fast and want it so bad to get into something they don't even know where they're going. God's going to prepare you. Take it easy. God will prepare you. He's the heir apparent for 30 years waiting for the throne. Yet he did not take it unto himself to be the ruler. He waited to God to turn it over to him. You remember all the time when he was able to kill Saul. He wouldn't do it. He said, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. True leaders do not want the job of leadership, but only accept a God-given call. Paul the Apostle telling the church to be cautious when calling a leader. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Vix, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall under the commendation of the devil. We've seen some men at our church that we have graciously tried to help. And boy, once they got a hold of this, they went pell-mell. And all of a sudden, they're not doing anything with God today. Because they're so excited wanting to be a leader. Don't be excited to be a leader. Don't be excited to be a leader. Be excited to serve. I was telling somebody the other day about getting married. I said, don't get excited about being married, getting married. God will give you somebody. Just do what you're supposed to do. Just keep staying where you're supposed to be staying. You go looking for it, you're going to find the wrong one. And Satan is always will give you the one that will ruin you. Wait until God brings one. I'll tell you what, when I was in college, I had a couple dates. And one girl, I thought, boy, she's really something. But things just worked out, and I met Marcia. Oh, thank God I met her. Wow. You know, God always, seems like Satan always brings a really good one, but God always brings the best one. Sometimes we get in a little hurry about stuff. Hey, fellas, don't take the first old heifer to come by. Girls, don't take the first old tomcat to come by. Wait, get a good one. My daddy used to say it costs you just as much to have a good horse as a bad horse. Now, I'm not saying girls are horses. I'm not. He was just saying that you have to feed that bad horse just like you have to feed a good horse. I'm leaving that alone. I'm done. Cash in and leave. Amen. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride. I had a young man studying to be a missionary. He started getting calls from different churches because he went to Heritage Baptist Church. Because Heritage Baptist Church had a pastor named Pastor Shear, and they knew me. And he started preaching out in these churches. He was a novice. He came back and started telling me what I should do and what I should preach. And I said to him, son, I said, let me tell you something. The reason you got to go to these churches, and they're big churches, is because on the stationery at Heritage Baptist Church, there's Pastor Shear on it, not you. They don't know you from scat. Don't be so excited about getting in ruler leadership until God calls you to it. And you'll know when He calls you to it. You won't be able to do anything else but serve like that. David was chosen by God. He was chosen by the prophet Samuel. He was chosen by King Saul to help the kingdom. He possessed by the Spirit of the Lord. Look at the testimony David already had in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18. He said he was a cunning player. I play music. Mighty valiant man. He's a teenager. They said he's a mighty valiant man. He's a man of war, prudent in matters, comely person, and the Lord is with him. Whoo! If you want somebody to get serving God, that's the kind of people you want credentials on. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11, even a child is known by his doing, whether his work be pure or whether they be right. Watch your kids. The tree is known by its fruit. God's word says a child or a man by his doing, even a young tree by his fruit, a child by his childish things, whether his work be clean only or appearing good, and the word be used. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eye, but the Lord weigheth the spirit, whether they be right. Proverbs 20:11. Even a child is known by his doing whether his work be pure or whether it be right. Isn't that good? A child is known by his doing whether the work be pure or whether it be right. You got some scallywags, your kids. And you know sometimes you just go like, are you kidding me? A child, yes, a young age, will manifest and show off personal character and personality traits. He may possess a temper. Watch it and see how strong it is. One may see his inclinations or see the kind of constitution he has. He may be strong and maybe sickly, maybe powerful, maybe shy. A child, while he is still young, has not learned the art of disassembling and concealing his bent on as grown people have. This is where wise parents step in and work on their inclination and constitution. I'd rather take a boy that's got a little bit of temper than a boy that has no temper at all. You can divert that. If a boy tends not to listen, you work on that. You work on it. My sister already had a little boy when she got married, and his name is Kevin. Sweetest little boy you see. But he was determined. He's just a determined little boy. And my brother-in-law, Orville, would take him. Come here, brother. He'd take him like this. He said, are you listening to me? Now, are you listening to me?
Wouldn't shake him much, but he just, and look right in the eye.
And finally, old Kevin said, yes, sir. He said, now this is what I want you to do. He did that for maybe a year. That little boy just went from left to right. I tell you, it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. So if you got one that doesn't listen, you work on that. If your boy tends to lie, you work on that. You work on it. No, we're not going to do that. God hates lying. God does not hate you. He loves you. That's why he gave me to work on you. You're not going to lie. You're not going to lie. You're not going to lie. Worst punishment at the Shear farm, the Shear home, was you lied. Because if you lied, then I can't trust you. If your boy tends to be moody, work on it. If your boy tends to be careless, you work on that. If your boy tends to be lazy, work on it. If your boy tends to dislike reading, you work on that. If your boy tends to act sissy, you work on that. Tell him how to walk. Walk. Shoulders up. Head up. Walk. Nothing there. Walk. Teach them how to walk. Teach them how to make noise when they're walking through the house. You kids make too much noise. You got a boy. You got a boy. Teach them how to walk. My mama used to say, son, stand up straight. Don't hunch over. Stand up straight. You're a man. You're a man, child. Hey, I was fighting. I had three sisters. I was always bent over by them whipping and pounding on me, amen. She said, stand up, boy. Stand up straight. The other day I was doing something, and I kind of laughed at myself because I was walking in. And I was walking in, Sam's Club or something. And I caught myself lifting myself up, trying to suck it in. That really hurts. But, amen. The boy tends to be mean to animals. You work on that. The Bible says that you take care of the beast. You teach them to take very good care of their puppy dog or their cat. You say, well, I'm going to get rid of that dog if you don't take care of it. No, you're going to teach him how to take care of that dog. Clean up. Go out in the yard. Clean your dog up mess. Man, oh man. Takes a lot of work, especially some of you guys got horses for dogs, amen. If he tends to be mean to other children. We had a guy in our church one time. He was bound determined he's going to get his boy to be a tough kid. Well, the stinking kids kept beating up on our kids. He's just looking for a fight all the time. No, we don't do that. Boy tends to be mean around other kids, teach him. That's not the way we treat others. If your boy tends to not listen carefully to your instruction, by the way, don't expect your child to know what you know. Give them a good explanation and then have them repeat what... Tonight I thought that I still had some of them Welch's juices. And so my buddy comes up to see me and says, preacher, you got any candy? And I says, yeah. I said, I got some in my office. And he said, and I gave him my keys. But when I gave him my keys, I said, now I want you to look on these keys. On these set of keys, there is a O on the key for office. And I said, that's one you need to go. I want to make sure that he knew what key was. And I said, you go into that room, and you go to my other room, and there is two boxes of blue Welch's candy. Go in there and get it. He came back and said, preacher, there's nothing in there. I said, what? I know I put them in there. And then I realized, after I went up there and looked, and sure enough, there was no in there. But I gave him direct orders, and I asked him to tell me what I told him. And then I was surprised when he came down, he said, no, Dad says there's not in there. I went, wait a minute, I didn't send your dad here, I sent you to. But anyway. Hey, you know, a lot of times you get mad at your child because you didn't give them everything they need to know because you expect them to know what you know. They don't know what you know. And I've seen more kids get spankings because their dad said, now go get that, and they don't even know what the dip is that. Be very careful when you're raising some kids to do right. If there's something I need to get, and I tell Brother Rick, I said, Brother Rick, would you get this? And I tried to explain to him. He asked me many times, now, preacher, what did you say that was at? Well, that's smart. And that's why we want to teach our children to act, to know where it is. Now, if your child is not cheerful in obedience, that's disobedience. You tell the child to do it, and he fusses and pitches a fuss and finally does it, that's disobedience. Obedience is on the spot. My dad used to say, son, I want you to go get that. And I said, well, he said, go get it, man. If I could go get it, I'd get it myself. Now go hurry up. How many dad ever said that? Yeah. If your son tends to be slow at your command, remember, delayed obedience is disobedience with rebellion. I'm trying to help some of you folks tonight. There may be a time when your son will have a very good reason to question your command. Listen to me now. There may be a time your son may have a very good reason to question your command. With due respect, of course, maybe he is not sure of your command, doesn't understand what you want of him. He is not an animal. He is your reward from heaven. He is your gift from God. Carefully protect and teach him. Son, this is what I want you to do. Dad, I don't think you ought to do that or not. That's not what... I told you to do it! That's it. That's when there's a teaching. There's a teaching spot right there. Why don't you think of it? Well, Dad, is a... No. I was preaching one time, and I led a family, all five of them, to the Lord. A husband, a wife, and three boys. Helped soul winning, led them to the Lord. Started coming to our church. And about 3 months later, their dad says, you know, we got a little problem. I said, what's that? He said, you were talking the other day, and you winked. I said, yeah. He said, well, the Bible says you shouldn't wink. In Proverbs it says, you know. And tore them kids up, man. And I had explained to them that kind of wink was getting somebody to do something wrong or to lie. And I said, that's not what the preacher is doing. And they were okay with that then. So when a child comes to you and asks you a question, listen to him. It's a teaching opportunity. Maybe he doesn't understand it all. Most kids don't understand. Hey, I said it, just do it. Sometimes that has to be done. Sometimes you have to do it. Say, son, go do that. And they say, well, why? Don't ask me why. Just go do it. Once it's done and you have the opportunity to tell them, then tell them. You get what I'm trying to tell you? These kids are not animals. They're gifts from God. Always be ready to listen to his reason and reasoning. How's he going to learn how to reason and reasoning unless he has you as his mentor to teach him what to do and how to say things? No, son, you shouldn't say it like that. Kind of like the little boy was in the grocery store, and there's a well-upholstered lady in front of him. And all of a sudden, she started backing up. He said, look out, Dad! And he said the F word. F-A-T, lady, is backing up. Son, don't say that. And lady did something else. And the kid commented how big and rotund she was. Don't say that. And then he finally had to tell his boy. He said, we don't talk about other people's like that. Because the Bible said we don't make fun of other people's style or what they are. We're careful about that. But somehow this little guy had heard some of that stuff. Usually kids don't say stuff unless they heard stuff. Amen? My brother-in-law was over to the next door neighbors, and they were building a box, and the little boy hit his thumb and said some really bad words. So the next day, he's at his own house, hammering something, and he hits his hand, and just Oh, my goodness. And Marcia's mother was there and says, Dwayne, where did you hear that from? Well, he says, that's what you're supposed to say when you hit your thumb. You know, better. That's your time of teaching time. Time to love them. Put your arm around them. You know, son, Jesus wouldn't want you to talk like that. Spend a lot of time with them. It's part of growing up process that they reason and have reasonings. It's a part of mental growing up. Spend time, a lot of time, rearing this gift of God. Getting balance. Here are some things that you should be looking for to help your prince become a king. One, if the boy tends to be sloppy, teach him that there is a place for everything. Don't come to my garage right now, okay? If a boy tends not to get up when he is called, teach him how to use an alarm. I had a little hard time with that. And my mama broke me that habit. She'd come up, sit on my bed, and have a glass of orange juice. And say, honey, here's a glass of orange juice. She did that for probably a week. And all of a sudden, that cured me. I had to get up early for the bus. Man, I rode the bus for almost an hour and a half, 2 hours to get to school. I was a farm boy. And, boy, that's early. If the boy tends to be forgetful. How many have a forget? No, don't raise your hand. I have the wives. No, don't do that. If a boy tends to be forgetful, teach him how to write a few things down. One man said a 2-inch stub of pencil paper is a lot better than a memory. If the boy tends to be a coward, teach him how to defend himself. When I began to play baseball, I had been hit by a ball. And every time I got up the bat, I'd flinch. My coach made me stand behind the backstop, and he had a pitcher throw balls at me one afternoon. And I had to stand there. And if I flinched, he had to do it again. And I stood about this far from that cage. Man, that old ball come in, and boy, but after a while, hey, sometimes you just, if your boy tends to be shy, get him around some old people. He tends to be shy. Some of your kids, you wish they were a little more shy, but anyway, if your boy tends to be shy, get him around some old people. You know, I took my boys around old people. My son Chad, he loved to fish, and he met an old guy named Sarge over in Cascade. One day he was fishing under the bridge there, and he met the old Sarge. And Sarge was just quite a gentleman, Air Force guy, and just old guy, World War II, and they became best of friends. And boy, he taught my son a lot of things about fishing. Get him around them old guys. By the way, it's good to get him away from the young guys, to get him around the old guys. Amen. If the boy tends to blush and be uncouth, good luck. You have to remember that when he was little, Tyke, you used to laugh when he burped. He's like, oh, that's funny. Now you're beating him for it. Amen. He is old enough to let... I ain't going to say that. Yeah, maybe I ought to. One day I was out with my boys fishing, and we had some warm root beer. And they chugged that stuff down. And I didn't know that you could sing the Star Spangled Banner from A to Z with burping. But they did it. And we laughed and laughed and laughed. But when we came home, Mom didn't get it. So that's when you say you don't do that in front of your mom or sisters. But all the boys can remember the great laugh they had going fishing, just want to share the fun with others. But boy tends to have a temper. Work on it. Boy tends to be mouthy. Work on it. Maybe he learned that from his mom. I don't know. As a parent, you are always looking for ways to teach your children to be a success in life. Amen? Aren't we always looking for ways that these kids can be a success? Always make it easy or a clear path for them to do right. Never, never, never keep your child from Sunday school or church services or choir or youth outings or activities or youth conferences for punishment. That's where they're going to learn how to do right. We had kids wanting to come to Vacation Bible School bad because they went out and rode on the road in the middle of the road and their mom saw it. They got grounded. You can't go to Bible school. Why, stupid. You come here, we're going to teach you how to behave yourself. Amen. I know one little boy that didn't learn all his verses. So people kept him home from Bible camp. What are you going to do at Bible camp? You learn verses, amen. If you have a problem with some of your kids that are going to be there, then show up and help the sponsor or the chaperones. So, well, I'm not sure about my kid at camp. Well, then come down with us. Put a leash on him. Go down there, you got a leash on him. Somebody, the council will say, hey, your mom's here. You want me to take you over to your mom? Oh, pay yourself. That works wonderful. Next point. Vital raising prince. Parents, observe your prince. You may discover their disposition, their genius, their craftiness. They may be the one that instigates and get other siblings in trouble. They lie. They know how to hide. Make sure you know that. Check them out. Watch out for them. I had a cousin of mine. He used to give me so much trouble in Sunday school. He'd pinch me. And, you know, of course, I'd be doing that. My Aunt Mabel was a teacher, and she slapped me side of the head and said, now, behave yourself. And I said, "Back!" She said, don't back-talk me. And old Havens boy, when she's looking away, he'd go, they pinch me again. So there are some kids that you think that are the most wonderful kids in the world, but they'll get your kids in trouble. So just watch that, amen. And by the way, when you see something like that and you don't want your kid running around them, don't tell your kids, you can't run with that kid. When we had our Christian school, one of the kids was causing a little bit of trouble. And so the father told his kid, you can't play with him. Guess what he did Monday morning? Came to school and said, my dad said I can't play with you because you're a bad boy. Guess what? I get a phone call from the bad boy's daddy. You better watch them. It's your responsibility to take care of your child. It's not your responsibility to trust your child. It's your responsibility to raise them and protect them. Did you hear what I said? It's not your responsibility to trust them. It's your responsibility to raise them and protect them. My boys used to say, Dad, don't you trust us? I said, you know, yes, I do. But I don't trust some of the guys you're around at school. And why did I say that? Because I remember some of the stuff that I did because of some encouragement. Double dog dare and stuff like that. Train them when they're young not to quit. Love them when they are young so that you will be able to manage them when they're a little older. Learn to drive the nail in all the way so that they will stay with living for God. Our farm, when I was growing up in Michigan, we had a beautiful apple orchard of peaches and pears and apples. My dad noticed that the new saplings that he had put out were bending westward because of the east winds that came off Lake Huron. I thought he was crazy. He went and asked my mom for some pantyhose. And he took some pantyhose and tied them up and bent those trees back to the east so they're actually more to the east than they were to the west. It took 7 years for those trees to become straight as arrows. That gentle pulling, that nudging, was all it took. I think sometimes we're pretty rough on our kids. I think there ought to be a gentle persuasion. I think there ought to be a gentle persuasion, making sure those kids know that in love you're disciplining them. I used to tell my boys, son, I don't want to hurt you, but I want to correct you. I want you to know that there's a punishment that is due when you do something wrong. I know men that pay $5,000 to $10,000 for a bird dog. You don't see them beating and whipping them. They're very careful how they train that dog. Why in the world would you ever whip or cane one of your kids? I think sometimes they need it. But I think that they ought to know why they're getting it. And I think that when you're giving it, you're not yelling at them, because when you start yelling at them for what they did, you've already lost your temper. That's why at my home, we used to, I saw this before, and I thought, that's a good idea. This dad would send his child to the room, his room. Not with the other kids, but just him. And say, son, I'll be there in 10 minutes. You just stay in your room. And then I'd come in, and I would say, son, do you know what you did? Why you're here? Sometimes they say no. And I explain it to them. And they'd still say, well, Dad, I didn't think that was wrong. And so you know what I did? I told them that the next time I caught them doing that, that's wrong. But I didn't whip them. I didn't punish them, because they said, hey, Dad, I didn't know that's what you wanted. Good night, they're my kids. The first time I saw my boy, I just glowed. I'm just so thrilled to think that I had a man-child. Why would I ever want to hurt this child and maim that child? Are you kidding me? I want to train them. I want to raise them up to serve God. I want to hurt them. I've seen a lot of kids that are hurt. The Bible says you want to be careful. You don't spoil their will. You know, you can spoil the will of an animal. You spoil the will of a child. You beat them long enough and hard enough, they won't respond to it. Time, willpower, energy, brains, and prayer. Takes a long time, just like it took 7 years for that tree to get straight. As a youth, I always was fond of watching the Prince of Wales being raised by Elizabeth, the Queen of England. I read books. Read of the schools that he attended, the life in the military, the sports he played, all the pomp and circumstance to get him ready for the throne. Still, he did not attain. He has had a few flaws in his life that was disappointing to his mom, the Queen. And I just read a deal. The Queen says, I wish I'd spent more time with my son. And now if you're watching any of this with, what's his name, who's the new prince? Prince William and his wife, Catherine, right? Anybody hear what people are saying? Oh, she's spending too much time with her child. I think that Catherine has went back in history and see what happened to her father-in-law and says, my child is not going to be raised like that. I'm going to raise my own child. I don't need a nanny to raise my child. I'm its mother, and I want to raise it right. And, of course, they'll put them in all kinds of different schooling and everything to train them right. And I think that's the way we ought to be. We ought to teach our kids and take them places that they can learn everything they can. Hey, we're trying to raise some princes. If you don't know how to fish, then take somebody that knows how to fish and have them take your boy fishing. If you don't know how to act and react to certain things, get somebody who knows how to react and act. Maybe you're kind of sissy yourself. Well, get around some man that can help you in that. Now, how to develop a prince? I'll end with this. Jesse Sanborn wrote these. Surround your boy with good books and good music. Encourage him to love reading. Surround your boy with good music. Help him to learn to recognize the consequence of sin. Take him through the Bible. Say, look what happened to Absalom. Look what happened. You just take him through there. Make your home a happy place for him. Make your home a happy place. Good night. I hear some people say, pick that up. You live in a hog hole. On and on and on. Good night. Make it a happy place. My wife, smartest woman I know in the world, she come up with this idea. Take 10. You said, take 10. Yeah. She said, guys, and I was one of them, she said, let's take 10. And we looked at her like a hound dog looking at a dead skunk. And she said, all I want is 10 minutes of your time. I want you to each go to your room, and for 10 minutes, don't do nothing except clean that room. And then when you're done in the room, come down to the living room and wherever, and let's clean it up. 10 minutes, that's all we want. You'll be amazed what you can get done in 10 minutes. You'd be amazed where some of that stuff is found later when we can't find it. Amen. Make your home a happy place. Encourage scripture memorization in every age. Establish family altar. Teach your boys to enjoy work. One man's work is another man's play. Encourage your boy to learn something that he will help him develop his confidence in himself. Provide lessons and give support and encouragement. Be generous with praise. Take time to listen to your boy. What did I say? Take time to listen to your boy. The young man was sentenced to penitentiary. The judge had known him from childhood. He was well acquainted with his father, a famous legal scholar and an author of an exhaustive study entitled The Law of Trust. The judge says, do you remember your father? And the boy said, I remember him well, Your Honor. Then trying to probe the offender's conscience, the judge says, as you are about to be sentenced and as you think of your wonderful dad, what do you remember the most clearly about him? The boy paused. Then the judge received an answer he was not expecting. He said, I remember when I wanted some advice, he looked at me from the book he was writing and said, run along, boy, I'm busy. When I went to him for companionship, he turned away and said, run along, son, this book must be finished. Your Honor, I remember him as a great lawyer. I remember him as a lost friend. The magistrate muttered to himself, alas, finished the book, but lost the boy. Be generous, please. Take time to listen to your boy. Make a big thing of family celebration traditions. Always have a big birthday party. Make it a big deal. Give your boy links to the past. Sit him down. Tell him what your granddad did and your great-granddad and your daddy did. Help them develop a family pride. Help them develop that family name. Teach independence and self-reliance. Help your child to learn to make decisions. Give him a couple bucks and send him to go get something. I used to take my boys, and we'd go to a restaurant. Even when they're like 4 years old, I'd give them the money and have them go up, and they'd stand and stand and stand and stand, waiting for that waitress to come and take the money. But finally, the waitress would always come, and they had the money. Welcome your boys' friends into your house. Never alone or unoccupied, always listening distance. You got that? Make your house a gathering place of friends and neighbors. Pop, juice, popsicles, popcorn, food. Make those kids want to come. I'd rather have the kids come to my house under my eyes under my hearing than have them go over to someplace else. Make sure a home is a haven of rest and privacy too. Sometimes boy needs to be alone with their family. Help your boy to learn to handle disappointment. Let your marriage be a model of your children may copy. Show that you love each other. Never allow your boys to be alone with your girls. Never, never, never. Listen to me, I'm pleading with you. Do not let them alone. When they start turning about 10 years old, 8 years old, man, I'll tell you what, I'll be as ugly as a stick. No, you're not going to be alone. Make them wear crows around the house. He said, but Pastor, don't pastor me. I see too much of it. Do all you can to help your child to build a happy memory. Show your child the privilege to bring with it, privileges bring responsibilities. Teach your boy to respect for themselves and for other people. Help them to see the respect and the prerequisite of love. That respect for other people is an important aspect of leadership. Win your children to the Lord in early age and help them day by day to learn to be strong, reliant on the Word of God. Learn that prayer is the answer to life's problems. Psalm 34:11, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You can raise some great kids, but I'll tell you what, it takes work. You can't raise them with 8 hours of TV a day. Or the Xboxes or Nintendos. I don't know what they're doing now anymore. You can't raise them like that. There ought to be a time limit on that. I ought to be very careful about that. You know, I see people, they can't even talk anymore. They have to text. They're sitting next to each other and texting back and forth. Learn how to talk. I know it's a communication age. I don't care. I appreciate it. But be very careful with your children to teach them the right. Teach them morals. Teach them to be very careful about other people. Teach them to treat people with great respect. I remember when I was a little boy, I was outside swinging, and all of a sudden a man pulled up in a big old black car. Great big old guy came out with a cowboy hat on, with a Stetson, you know, one of them smaller hats. He walked up to me and he said, boy, you know who I am? I said, no, sir. He says, I'm Bill. Well, when I was growing up, you didn't call nobody Bill. You call him by Mister. He said, I'm Bill Smith. I am the sheriff. You want to see my badge? And he goes like this. And a great big old sheriff badge is right there. And I went, oh. My dad was the county commissioner at that time, and he came out, and they were building the new jail and the new sheriff's office, and my dad was the chairman of the board. And Bill had some questions for my dad, and his dad came out, and my dad said, have you met my son Sheldon? He said, yeah, we're buddies already. And I told him to call me Bill. And, oh, my goodness, right there, it started. My dad said, due respect, Sheriff, you are Sheriff Smith. My son will not call you by your first name. And old Bill Smith, Sheriff Smith, oh, I'm sorry, Claire, I didn't mean to cause any trouble. He said, no, I just want my boy to know to respect those in authority. Think that stuck with me? I remember my church where I was at, and they got a pastor. His name was Pastor Lindsay. I always thought his name was Pastor Lindsay. At my house, we called him Pastor Lindsay or Reverend Lindsay. But some of the people tried to get real familiar with our pastor and started calling him by his first name, Dwayne. As even a little five-year-old boy, I knew that was wrong. They've shown no respect. I couldn't believe that people called my pastor by his first name. I love my pastor. Oh, my goodness, are you kidding me? So in life, you have a great opportunity to raise your children. God has given you about 18 years. And I will promise you those 18 years will go very fast. Ask Mrs. Robinson. Ask Mrs. Shannon. Ask the Hemingways. Ask Mrs. Hamilton. Those, it's like that. They're gone. Aren't they? So, you just got a little time with them. God has given them as gift to you and your family. Marcia understands it, doesn't you? Yeah, my oldest son, I think, is 44. My youngest son is 40. How does that happen? I go out to eat with a couple of my grandsons. They're taller than I am. I'm 6 foot. What are you guys doing? I know. They're running in the barefoot in the cow pastures. That's what they're doing, amen. Getting that good fertilizer, amen. That's how they're growing up. Amen. Hey, stick to it, fellas. Put a list of things down that you'd like to see your child to do. Pray for them. Beg God for them. Beg God that they don't get in some trouble that would ruin them and get them sidetracked to serving God. Or get them out of, I call the toolbox. Work hard. Work gently. Just as a man would work gently with a $10,000 sporting dog. Let's be even more careful with our child. They're worth millions to us. And then when they do things better than you, praise them and glorify God for them. Hey, where'd they learn it from? Take pleasure in that. Father, I pray you bless us now. Help us. Lord, I pray for these fathers of this church, in this house tonight. The Lord God, that you would speak to their hearts and they would say, Lord, I want to raise my son to be a prince. I want to raise my son to do right. I want to raise my son to live by the Bible. And dear God, would you please help me to do it myself? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. You here tonight and say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to know that. Why don't you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle. Let me show you from the Word of God how you can know be saved. Maybe here tonight and say, preacher, I want to follow the Lord and believe his baptism. Maybe here tonight and you say, preacher, I want to serve God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. Maybe here tonight and say, preacher, hey, I'm a dad and I want to raise my child that way. I want to raise him right. Raise him quarterly. I want my boy to be a man. I want to give my life to the Lord in a great way. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Peter's playing. You come. Say, tonight I'm dedicating my life to raise that boy. I'm dedicating my life to give myself to be a servant to my child to serve God.